opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. Today is Sunday, January 11th, 2015. And, boy, I'll tell you what, rocking and rolling the first part of the month here, in the first part of the year.
Yep.
It's not,
start out with a big bang with everything that's going on, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, the fun never stops. I'm here.
And if you thought you're going to have quiet feet,
And I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
And Bob Martin, our trusted producer and soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. That's 530-605-4567. All our shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneville, Destiny Fellowship. The Tea Party stands for Limited Government, Fiscal Responsibility, Adherence to the Constitution, and doesn't favor any political parties, despite the
despite what the media says and everybody else.
Despite the messages to the contrary, Jefferson State of Mind just got through. It's Saturday here, or I'm sorry, it's Sunday here, and at 9 a.m. and they start at 8 in the morning. We also want to talk about the Shasta Lantern at ShastaLantern.com. Quote of the day is: "I have not yet begun to fight." Everybody knows who said that, right? John Paul Jones.
I wasn't sure.
There you have it. So with that, let's get right to it. I've got a. I want to talk about an article that was written, and then we have a guest coming on it a quarter after, for a half hour. Bill, what's his? How do you
Tetro?
Say? Tetro. He'll be on, and then we'll have Mark Barrett at the top of the hour at 10, and talking about the state of Jefferson. Now, the article I want to go over here. And do we have any current veterans events? Real quickly,
we do actually. Coming up on February 7th, there is going to be a fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum at Wind River. If you're interested in buying tickets for that, you can call Desiree at 227-8953 or Patrick Jones at 222-3223. And then on February 19th at 8:45 a.m. at Parsons School, they put on a wonderful program for the veterans every year. So again, that's coming on February 19th at Parsons School. If you need more information, you can always give me a call at 221-0101.
Well, good, good, good. All right. So with that, you know, like I say, let's get into the first article. We're going to be moving fast today as usual. This comes from WND, and this is a commentary, and it was written by Pat Boone, interestingly enough. And it's titled, you know, a traitor in the White House has a question, if the shoe fits. Now, this is the start of the article. It says, the traitor rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. And that's from Marcus Cicero, 1st century B.C., Roman Empire. What is treason? Good old Webster's dictionary describes it as simply a betrayal of one's country to an enemy, and traitor as one's as one who betrays one's country, cause, friends, etc. Recently read a biography of Benedict Arnold, America's history's most notorious traitor. Though he was a beneficiary of our young country's opportunities and honors, rising through the military to a rank of major general, historians record he was arrogant and impatient with the civil deliberateness and legislative oversight. He courted the favor of the British loyalists, angered the patriots, and exhibited such a love and need for money that he lined his pockets with questionable side ventures. He decided he wasn't... He decided he wasn't sufficiently appreciated by his fellows and formulated a treasonous plan to crush the revolution and revenge himself on Congress. When amazingly he was given command of West Point, he plotted with the British General Clinton. Boy, that's
ding, 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 ding,
Carroll barely managed to escape to England, where he lived out his life as a social outcast and an infamous traitor. Is it remotely possible such a terrible thing could happen in America today? What would one of our leaders have to do to be accused of treason? Well, let's create a purely hypothetical scenario. Suppose America elects a charismatic young president who makes all kinds of brave promises and sweeps into the White House. This young man not only has little political or government experience, but none of at all in business or administration. Curiously, his upbringing is never closely examined or evaluated. It's just assumed that anybody elected president must love America. But this young man has been trained by parents and others to consider his country a colonial oppressor and unfit to be the world leader. In college, by his own autobiography account, he sought out Marxist professors in not one but three colleges. Once elected, he used his newfound executive authority to seal off all his early school records, passport, and travel records, lest his true intents be uncovered. He eventually has a fake copy of a birth certificate created and exhibited on the White House website, complete with glaring errors that betray its falsehood. Somehow, Congress seems to be mesmerized and intimidated from confronting him. So he creates a phalanx of legislative czars to regulate and virtually stifle all business and energy progress. And these czars, among them known Muslim and Marxist and homosexual activists, report not to Congress but to him directly. Having declared that he considered the U.S. Constitution a flawed document, he proceeds as president to ride roughshod over the document and the establishment of three separate and equal branches of government, declaring openly if Congress won't give him what he wants, he has a phone and a pen. And will make executive decisions and even change laws he has crammed through the legislature, determined to effectively dismantle the two-party system and the separation of powers concept. Now, theoretically, many might call all this treason. But wait, suppose the increasingly arrogant young man, having become commander-in-chief of the military, begins to quietly fire and replace full admirals and generals who object to his decisions to withdraw from territories gained by the lives of 4,000 brave young Americans and to issue more orders that will weaken the whole defense system and cost more American lives. Treason? Wait. Suppose this pompous man also appoints an attorney general who announces with him that they not only will enable hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens to invade the country, but they will not enforce the immigration laws themselves. This knowingly that among those undocumented aliens there would be certainly be trained enemies of the United States whose sole purpose for crossing our borders is to destroy the country he had learned to despise as a young man. And what if this attorney general concocted a scheme to furnish thousands of weapons to Mexican drug cartels and potential terrorists? Treason? The case is building. Now, suppose that this Manchurian or Indonesian candidate, never having any business or economic experience, but knowing that one vital reason for America's world dominance is its giant economy, forces through a weak and compliant Congress decisions that add trillions of dollars of unpayable, inexcusable debt, piling up three times more debt on American taxpayers and businesses than all the past presidents combined. In this unthinkable scenario, he's systematically crippling, bankrupting, and discrediting his country. And all of this, he is following the plan he had learned from his famous Communist Party organizer. Now, in this imagined story, we can add that the deliberate dividing of the citizens along racial and economic and political lines, we can add this awarding billions of dollars of speculative contracts to party donors and even family friends. We can toss in his leaving his command post while at while a U.S. ambassador and other Americans were under fire and eventually dying, to pack his bags and fly to Las Vegas for a political fundraiser, and a definite Benedict Arnold comparison. And to leave no doubt whatsoever while our nation is slipping into an all-out war against inhuman killers who behead innocent people, this pretender-in-chief makes the personal decision to release known murderers from a military prison and to send them back to the Mideast, all expenses paid with no penalties for the crimes, to supposedly rehab. And then certainly reassume leadership positions in our murderous, with our murderous enemies. No consultation with or consent from Congress, just his own decision, knowing brave young Americans will face these beasts again in battle to the death. If there is a clear definition of treason, I can't think of it. All of this theoretically, of course. But I think if an interpreter and a subversive imposter were to arise and somehow become president, if he weren't eventually exposed and prosecuted and impeached, America should actually apologize to Benedict Arnold. And that is the rest of the story.
Wow.
Hmm. I thought that was a great article because it really lays it out. And his picture, the last sentence is, his picture should be posted in Webster alongside the word treason and traitor.
Huh? There you go. It. Yeah.
So, with that, maybe what we need to do is go to a break.
I think go to a break and then come back with our guest. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So, listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Join us for Turtle Bay's most delicious event ever, Chocolate After Dark. For $35 per ticket, you'll enjoy an evening of unique chocolate delicacies, distinctive wine and beverage tastings, and an exclusive preview of our newest exhibition, Sweet, A Tasty Journey. With limited tickets available, this fabulous event is sure to sell out. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. This is a 21 and over event only. Buy your tickets at the Turtle Bay Museum Store and Coffee Bar or at turtlebay.org now. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah, that's a great jam. I love that song.
Gotta love Mr. Walsh there.
Joe. Very good. Anyway, we're back, Sovereign Mind Radio. And our first guest is, I believe, on the line here. Are you there, Bill?
I am right here.
Good morning.
Hey, great having you back, Bill. Who do you know? What do you know? What do you say?
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Very good, very good. So, I guess what should we talk about? Should we talk about Boehner and the failed coup, or economics, dropping oil prices? I'll let you pick the topic.
Let's go with the two things that I think are going to be the biggest as far as discussions for the year ahead.
Okay.
And the first thing is interest rates.
Ah.
And when you look at interest rates, everybody, of course, is saying, when will the raise those interest rates?
Never.
And the whole idea of raising interest rates by the Federal Reserve is now locked in. Everybody, you know, mainstream media, Janet Yellen says, well, maybe by the middle of this year and this whole thing. And then if you step back, this is one of the problems that I have in the world, is I step back and I look at things and from a common sense standpoint, not from a politically correct point, not from the left, not from the right, though I'm on the right, obviously, but just step back and look at it from a common sense standpoint. You have mortgage originations at the lowest in history. There are no couples sitting in America sitting and talking to each other and saying, you know, I think we'll wait until interest rates get up 2 or 3% and then we're going to take a mortgage out. I don't think anybody does that.
No.
And then you take a look and you see that the number of jobs, contrary to what we saw the other day, we're down to 5.6, but you don't count 93 million people who are out of the workforce. Well, they're not counted as part of the participation pool. And so you just keep, and then you go to the pump. I paid in Phoenix, I paid $1.99 a gallon yesterday.
Wow.
For gas.
Wow.
$1.99. So here you have gasoline prices, which are way down, which is a total different story. But when you put it all together, why do they want to raise and why will they raise interest rates? Now, I've been saying this, writing this for several months, and now finally Mr. Evans, who's the head of the Federal Reserve in Chicago, came out this last week at a big gig that they did in I think, University of Chicago, and said, well, maybe 2016. And maybe we won't get interest rate, or we won't get inflation to where we want it, which is 2%, until 2018. So, my comment at the beginning of the year is, let's get ready and continue to think interest rates are going to stay low for a long period of time.
QE to infinity and beyond.
Then you talk about oil. Okay, oil. Here's one, maybe because you're California. So maybe you can explain this to me. What is all the hoopla about the Keystone XL? I don't understand it. I don't get it. I know that it was a small company in Canada that filed an application, because if you're going to go across the border, you have to have approval by the President of the United States, but files an application to run a pipeline from Alberta, to Houston. And once it gets to Houston, the heavy sand, the tar oil, is then going to be loaded on ships and kicked around the country, around the world. We don't get that oil. We have our own oil.
Yep.
And when the environmentalists jumped into this thing, then the folks on the other side had to jump in, and it became, well, as they say, I think Shakespeare once said, much ado about nothing. Because the number of jobs that's created is minimal, if at all. The other side that says, well, you know, global warming, the effect of that aspect of it, minimal, if anything at all. So it's been simply a situation where, and oh, by the way, the fact of tar sands with their heavy oil down at $33 a barrel, nobody's making any money. So it's really just a moot point. But, you know, it's something for our guys to argue out and Congress and jump on and do battle with.
Well, do you think we're in a deflationary cycle that's spiraling out of control, possibly?
Oh, there's no question. There's absolutely no question about that.
Yeah,
because when you take a look, when the big thing is, you know, you and I might look in the sky, and the three of us might sit there and say, you know, what color is that blue? Well, that's a dark blue, a light blue. We all have different opinions, and all sorts of folks. I mean, my wife and I disagree on. She says, well, we're in inflation, because I go to the grocery store and I buy, you know, the hamburger, or I buy a steak, and I'm paying a heck of a lot more than I did. Yes, there's no doubt about that. But when you look at deflation, the definition of deflation economically is the lack of cash and the lack of credit in the marketplace. That creates the offset, which is falling prices.
Yep.
There's not a lot of cash out there. Yes, nope. The Treasury printed, well, the Federal Reserve created credit over the last few years, but not credit for you and me.
Yeah, it's all stored up.
There's no money that's out there.
Yeah, it's a bunch of digits and computers.
So you are, as you just said, a very deflationary environment. But how do you prove it? How do you do it? Well, all you do is you look at one thing, and this is what I tell all the listeners and readers to my column at Town Hall and at BillTatro.com and all these different things. I say it's very simple. Look at the banks of the world. Look at, say, Switzerland. Switzerland just is now offering a negative interest rate. Japan offered the first time a two-year piece of paper with a negative interest rate, which means that if you want your money in those banks, you deposit it and you pay them.
Wow. What a great deal.
Yeah, and you would think there'd be no money going there. But big money is going to Switzerland like billions. So what does it tell you? It tells you two things. A, they expect some real headwinds ahead, some real trouble ahead. So they want their money in a position that they can get a return of their capital as opposed to return on capital. And you're going to see the interest rates continuing to come down. Back at the beginning of last year, and I'm one of the few economists out there that don't get pulled by Bloomberg, they pulled 68 economists, noted economists from around the country. Every single one of them, 100%, said by the end of 2014, when the 10-year Treasury was at 2.8, it would be at 4%. Gee, my goodness, it broke 2% at the end of the year. Surprise, surprise, duh. And I was the only guy that said, we're going lower.
Yep, I think it's just going to go down until the wheels fall off. And you know, this oil prices as well could trigger. I'm looking at the website of the SHS. tfplan.com. And, you know, the headline is falling oil prices could trigger nightmare scenario for derivatives, day of reckoning rapidly approaching. And I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, there's a lot of stored up digits all over the world. And I like what you said about Switzerland, you know, that they want their capital back because, you know, in a lot of these American banks, the bigger banks, JP Morgan, you might get to a point here with a bank holiday where you're, you know, in a bank bail-in where you might not get your money back.
Oh, we'll get there. I mean, it's fascinating that Cyprus was the template for the bail-ins.
Yep.
And you had Mark Carney, who then eventually moved over to England, head of the bank in England. But he said, well, I'm in favor of bail-ins. And Janet Yellen said that. And I've heard some people through the through FDIC have said, we've already got that in place.
It is.
Just so
it
people
is.
Know, it's not that they take your money away. It's simply that. Oh, let's see. You got a.
They just
you know,
don't give
money
it back.
Deposited in this bank. Yeah, we're going to replace it with a nice government piece of paper that. Oh, by the way, you can't cash in for 5 or 6 years, but you'll earn some interest on it.
Yeah, you get some equity in the bank that's failed, and
right.
You know, it's incredible. The whole scenario, but it is in the Dodd-Frank law, and they did pass an addition to that in the Carmenius bill in November, December, whatever it went through, where Citibank actually drafted part of that that basically said that, you know, gave them the green light to do a bail-in.
The most amazing thing in the world was the two pieces of legislation that came out, as you just said, at the end of the year. That was in the president's budget, and it was written word for word. And basically, in layman's terms, it said, if we continue to screw up, you, the taxpayer, will make us whole.
Yeah, there you have it.
Okay, now, then the most recent, so we all think, well, there's new congressmen coming in, and there's new senators, and boy, they're going to turn this thing around. And so this new piece of legislation, not new, but they reiterated and they extended the Terrorist Insurance Act. I have no idea what that is, but they got all excited about it in 2020. But tucked in there, like they like to do, is like hanging the bulb on the Christmas tree, that little extra ornament, said that if you are a non-financial entity, you also will be protected by the taxpayer. And so what that was written for is you look at, and it's talking about subsidiaries. So here you have Citibank or you have J.P. Morgan with subsidiaries around the world that all of a sudden are playing in the derivative market, and if they get blasted, oh, they're a non-financial entity, but we'll take care of them too.
Yep, that's the deal. It's going to be, you know, when they make their profits, they keep them. When they lose, we, the taxpayer, pay for it.
Gee, Andrew Jackson, or I mean, should say, yeah, Andy Jackson said that back in the 1800s when he refused to extend the second national bank and said very simply, I mean, he could have said this today, when the bankers win, they win. When the bankers lose, we lose.
Yeah, I think he also called them a hydra-headed engine of destruction on the American people's sovereignty, if I recall.
Oh, my, a historian. I love it. We need to talk off air.
Yeah, I'm definitely a history student, that's for sure. Well, I want to say that, okay, so then let's move on to John Boehner here a little bit while we're talking about this. Now, Boehner's saying he's the most conservative Speaker of the House ever, basically. And, you know, this 25 or 24 people that voted to get him out of there, you know, he's going to punish him and so forth is what was the talk. But the vote was fixed, and it was voted before the Crominibus. I don't know. Anyway,
I'm not sure.
The Crominibus bill.
Nobody's bailing you.
We're not getting, bailing in. We're not bailing out.
Somebody throw me a bone here.
It's Crominibus.
Crominibus. Boy, I'm tongue tied this morning. But he had promised in that prior to they voted took a vote to keep him as speaker that he would stop the immigration and do some defunding on some of these bills that the conservatives were dead set against. And he basically stabbed everybody in the back, and that this new vote was going to have to put it up for a full vote again before the House. And so, you know, with all that said, you know, they vote, he got back in, and he's basically saying, you know, I got no problem with any of this stuff. And I think the congressman that voted to put Boehner back in is very telling, and it tells the story up there of the amount of hubris and, you know, absolutely no care for what the American people have to tell them. They're going to do whatever they want.
Oh, I don't disagree. I take it a little bit further, however.
Okay, good.
And that is from this particular standpoint. And I talked prior to the election. I had an opportunity to talk to some different people who were running for re-election and people who were running for election, who some made it, some didn't. And I asked every single one of them the same two questions. And it had to do with a Keynesian philosophy. And I basically talked about that. Oh, that's terrible. That's this, that's that, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, okay, let me just ask you two questions. Would you vote to get rid of the Federal Reserve? You would have thought I had three heads.
Yep.
You would have thought that I said something that was so anti-American, it was like I was getting rid of Mom, apple pie, and Chevrolet. I mean, it was, you know, and I attacked Mother Teresa. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing I said, we have more bases, we have more military around the world than we did pre-9/11. Well, that's for security. I said, really? I said, okay. And we have, it's amazing the amount of war that we have. We've been in continual war for the last 30 years. I said, would you end to stop that, bring the majority, if not all, of the military home,
yep,
and spend money here? Oh, absolutely not. So then I just kind of threw the other thing, and I said, then why aren't people spending? This is the third thing. Why aren't people spending? And they'll say, well, because they just don't have enough credit. They just don't have enough opportunity out there.
Yeah, more debt.
And
that's
I said,
the answer.
So what we've done is we've just reelected another group of Keynesians.
Yep.
Who will, no matter what their political power party is, no matter what their right, left, up, down, their real core philosophy is the same as we've had for the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years.
Yep.
Nothing will change from. Now, when I say nothing will change, 2015, mark my words, is going to be a year of dramatic change.
I agree.
And we're going to see people who are various politicians, these things are going to smack them right in the face.
Okay.
Because
where
things are happening here, maybe not happening politically here, they are definitely happening politically around the world.
Okay, Bill, sorry to interrupt you, but we have to go to a break and thank some of our sponsors when we get back. Maybe we can hit on that a little bit more after the break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
I know we can't give up.
Have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew. Coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Chris, are you joining us when Second Tuesday meets at Kahuna's January 13th?
I thought you were the big Kahuna.
I'm talking about Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue on South Market Street.
Hey, that's where you get to choose all your favorites. Put them in a big bowl with all the spices and then watch them cook it on that big grill.
That's right. Hoping you will join us Tuesday, January 13th for great food and good company at Kahuna's Mongolian Barbecue as they kindly offer a percentage of their proceeds to support Haven Humane Society and our effort to help homeless and abused animals in our area. It's all about friendship and helping the animals.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I and all the hardworking crew would like to thank you for another successful year. If you're one of those who's already filled your tank, great. If not, you need to do so. Kathy has another load of forklift bottles and barbecue tanks just came into the Redding plant, so stop and see Gary. In Corning, half mile east of I-5, Robin has CFN and Visa card locked for all the trucks and cars 24/7. Tractor hydraulic, motor oils, and 5-gallon pails. In Weaverville, Joe's been busy with customers picking up kerosene at the plant, and he's also a CFN Visa card lock 24/7 for cars and trucks, and he can fill your propane bottle. The Sierra Cascade Logging Conference and Equipment Show is coming up again in February 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Anderson District Fairgrounds. So bring the kids. As always, it's free. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Yeah. 2015, the year of the Barracudas.
Well, that could go either way, but from what we're understanding, there's a lot that's probably going to happen in 2015.
Well, as they say on the bull and on the Bulls and the Bears on Fox, predictions 2015. So what are you seeing in your crystal ball, Bill?
Well, 2015, I continue to think that we're going to have one of the keys is a continuation of the lower gasoline prices. I don't think, contrary to a lot of thinking out there, that it's going to jump up. I heard a commentary by Bob Corker, the senator of Tennessee. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, right? He says that now that the prices are low, that the government should institute an increase in the federal tax on gasoline.
Yeah,
I said that brilliant with cheek, just to
I saw a crazy Nancy Pelosi. She said, now's the perfect time to raise the gasoline tax. And I was thinking, yeah, but what happens if the gasoline prices go up?
But, you know, there's two things on this. That you've got a pro and a con. You've got a benefit to you and I as we go to the tank, and it's great. But when you go to a tank, and here's what most people don't really see, and this is why mainstream media always just gives the headlines. They don't get below the surface. So you'll hear a lot of the so-called mainstream economists will say, well, this is great for America. Look at all the extra money that we have to spend now, especially at Christmas time. Wow. Now let's think about this for a second. You go to the tank 6 to 9 months ago. It's a 20-gallon tank. You're paying $4, so that's $80. Mm-hmm. You have $80 in cash. You give the $80 to the guy, you drive away, you got nothing left in your pocket. Now here it is 6 months later, you're down to, let's say, $2. You still got the same $80. You now give the guy $2 times 20 gallons is $40. So you have $40 left in your pocket. You don't have additional money. You just have $40 left that didn't have to get spent in the tank.
Yep.
Now, most of the retailers at Christmas time thought that the people would take those $40 and spend them at their store. That didn't happen. A lot of people paid down debt. A lot of people stuck it under the mattress. They saved it or whatever. But here's where the negative comes. tank goes to the Middle East. No. We now have a shale oil industry. We have an oil and gas industry which has been thriving for the last 4 or 5 years. Texas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, these particular areas. And so it's been estimated that in 2015, because in 2014 it was very approaching this number, in 2015, 70 cents of every dollar would go to an American company. Okay. So if all of a sudden you're paying less at the tank, the money that was going and building up these economies in Texas and all these jobs and all these ancillary, like restaurants and movie theaters and car dealerships, all of a sudden that money's not going there. You take that extra 40 bucks, you go to the mall and you go to Walmart and you buy an electronic toy, what does it say on it usually? Made in China.
Mm-hmm.
So where's that money now flowing? It's going to flow out. So now we get our brilliant Nancy Pelosi Democrat, we get Bob Corker Republican, saying now is the time to raise taxes. So let's see. We're going to get our money go to the Chinese. We're going to kill the shale oil industry is getting killed and the ancillary is going to get killed. And now we want to put taxes on the average guy who's the only one that's benefiting from this thing.
Wow, that's
welcome to 2015.
Hey, that sounds like a great plan.
Sure.
That's the SHTF plan.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it just keeps, the hits keep on coming. I mean, you got Obama fines for Obamacare coming into play. You know, I think there's going to be a huge fallout on the derivative market from this oil prices going down. I mean, I'm looking at what Ron Paul had an article out this last week of, hey, Congress, you want to fix the country? And he laid out a 10-point platform of what we should do. And, you know, I'm looking at it, bring the troops home, pass an audit to Fed, audit the Fed bill, repeal the Patriot Act and rein in the national agency, National Security Agency, shut down the Transportation Security Administration, end all corporate welfare, repeal and replace Obamacare, end police militarization, shut down the Department of Education, allow individuals to opt out of Obamacare, and allow all the states to opt out of Obamacare. That's his plan for a start. I mean, I can't really find much fault there.
No, you can't. The problem with it is that every one of those things that he's listed, there is an entity that is very self-served.
Yep.
Is a lot of money flows their way, and those entities don't go quietly into the night.
No, I mean, they do the smear campaigns like they've been doing on him for 40 years. And, you know, he's been a victim of the Speaker of the House Boehner stuff where you just don't get on any committees or they don't let you pass any bills. So they just marginalize you and paint you as a loon, you know, a nut job. In the meantime, they're both following the basic Keynesian formula of a debt-based monetary system right down the road into the oblivion of the American sovereignty.
And you're absolutely right with that, Mark. But here's the thing, and I take the word "but" back because that usually negates everything before you, know, so you don't ever use the word "but." The situation is that the world itself, because we are so interrelated, and you use the word derivatives, and it was in 2008 we were talking derivatives of billions and billions. Now we are talking derivatives of trillions and trillions.
Yeah, the ante, the ante got us.
Yeah, and you don't know the straw that's going to be that's going to break that camel's back. As sad as what happened in France, and oh by the way, there was another bombing today, I guess, in Germany of some publicist
really?
That was printing the same cartoons.
Wow, I didn't hear that one.
But what you're getting is a response now from the politically in these different countries. We see Greece on the 29th is going to be voting. We see now if there was an election today between Marine Le Pen of the National Front and Francois Hollande, Hollande would lose. We see Beppo Grillo, a comedian in Italy, that is coming to the fore, and in Spain and different countries. What they all have in common is we want out of the European Union, we want out of the euro, and all of a sudden, all of these entities that have tied into the European Union through the derivative market are scared to death. Because you're absolutely right. When this thing comes down, I think 2008 will be like it was a warm-up for 2015, 2016.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I keep thinking of, you know, Austin Powers, where, you know, the evil professor or doctor or whatever he is, you know, is around the table and he's talking about it's going to be millions and millions. And his son corrects him. No, it's going to be billions and billions. Well, now we're, it's not billions and billions anymore. It's trillions and trillions. I mean, the worldwide derivative market is like $700 trillion from the last count I got. And this is all basically the worldwide casino play money, and all those digits are stored up. But, you know, are we going to have a contagion default on the sovereign debt and the bonds? And the is the bond market blowing up? I believe that's going to be the issue.
Well, when you look at the way the political arena is going, and everybody's trying to scramble to get a relationship with, they call it the Eurasia type of situation, primarily Asia Euro, but I think that the guys in Russia have beaten us to the punch there. But bottom line is, if you look in China, and you take a look at China, we now are starting to see various companies starting to say, I owe you money, sorry, I can't pay you.
Yep.
And we're seeing in the oil situation here in the United States, the first couple of shale oil companies that are now filing for bankruptcy because the money's not there. The leverage was so great and the anticipation that oil would continue to stay $100 plus that there was no thought, well, what happens if, you know, it comes down? What happens if I have to pay this loan back? Maybe I just say, oops, sorry, I can't. Kind of like AIG
right.
did back in 2008 when they did the mortgages and they said, I'm sorry, but we just, you know, everybody's forfeiting on their mortgage, which we didn't think was going to happen. But now we just have to, well, we just have to say we can't pay, which is always great because I read Hank Paulson's book. I've read Tim Geithner's book. And, they're, you know, they call themselves I feel insulted that they're in the same category. It's gone with my book, 44th, The Presidential Conspiracy, out. But they've rewritten history. These guys went to AIG and said, well, if you pay Goldman Sachs 100 cents on a dollar and a few other of the too big to fail, so 100 cents on a dollar, then when you have to pay the other guys like 5 cents, we'll step in and we'll bail you out. But this time, there's not going to be anybody to step in and bail anybody out.
Yep.
Okay, that's
fearful.
Yeah, that unfortunately, that's not sounding good at all. And unfortunately, we have to go to a break right now. And we hopefully you can hang with us for a few more minutes, Bill.
I think we can stay for a few minutes more.
Okay, great. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
The network want to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Attention all brides-to-be. If you're newly engaged or a wedding is on its way, on Sunday, February 8th, from 11 to 3, the Simpson University Event Center is where you need to be. The Bridal Guide Wedding Show is your one-stop shop for all your wedding needs. It's the wedding show of the year. Sunday, February 8th, from 11 to 3, at the Simpson Event Center. For more information, call 223-3868.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
That'll help you keep up with technology.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Sovereign Radio, we're back. We're here with Bill Tatro, and he's the author of The 44th, A Presidential Conspiracy, and you can get the book, I believe, at Amazon.com and all the other outlets. I'm pretty sure it's Amazon, isn't it, Bill?
That's correct.
Very good.
And I would invite everybody just to go to Bill Tatro, TATRO.com, and there's a video on the book, and they can learn more about me, and a lot of because I write for Town Hall, a lot of the writings are there, and a lot of former radio shows and all sorts of stuff and good stuff there. This is BillTatro.com.
Very good.
Very nice.
Shameless promotion. Thank you.
Hey, you know, we're still capitalists here. We you know, the bottom line is at some point in time, you actually have to make a living in a capitalist-free society. You know, the problem is that we're not sure if half the economy being communist is doing anything but milking the people who are working. Anyway.
You know, it's funny because your bump music there that was coming in was back in the late 90s.
Yep.
I had a radio show called It's All About Money that was syndicated through the entire Northeast. It was into Toronto, Atlanta, New Jersey, etc. And we were just about ready to go national, and had a lot of big advertisers, etc. And that was when 9/11 hit. And I every time I hear that music, I don't trigger back to the radio show. I trigger back to 9/11 because I lost my friends in those buildings.
Wow.
And I happened to be there at Cantor Fitzgerald about a week before it happened. And so you think about that, and you think about since that time period, all the things that have happened. It has been an amazing decade that we've seen.
Absolutely. I told somebody the other day, you know, if you're an economist, and this is like the best classroom learning curve ever. You know, I mean, despite all of the problems and everything else, the fact of all the stuff that has happened has just been absolutely phenomenal as far as watching it and understanding and learning. You know, it's the worldwide classroom stage has been just absolutely amazing. But we got about about 3 or 4 minutes left here, Bill, and before we have to let you go, so we want to, you know, I want to give you the opportunity to get in whatever you need to get in.
Well, here's the big thing, and that is that what you just said is absolutely correct, because as an economist, you look at all these events and all these situations that you're able to talk about, write about, and I am on a lot of radio shows all over the country, and you're the only one on Sundays, so I have to tell you that. I limit my Sundays to you guys.
Thanks. We appreciate
Thank you.
That.
We appreciate you greatly for that.
Well, that's my love for football. That's all. I just. But the bottom line is, if you're one who has studied cycles, whether it's Kondratiev waves, whether it is Elliott wave, whether biblically, you look at all these different things, and they all point to 2015 as being a very eventful year.
Yeah.
And as you watch things go on around the world, whether they're in the Orient, whether they're in Europe, right here in the United States, things are moving faster and faster and faster and faster. Now, do our listeners, your listeners, my readers, whatever, are they able to control things out there? No. They're able to control their own life, their own situation. But that's why it's so important to listen to programs like yours, to read stuff like I put out, but to learn. Because anybody who sticks their head in the sand is going to find out that they may all of a sudden have a bail into a bank, and they go, what's a bail in?
Yep, it's going to be a huge wake-up call.
You know, NSA says, oh, by the way, Mr. Jones, come with us. Well, what's NSA? And so all of a sudden, if it's important, I think, that as we go further in 2015, the way people get control is to have better knowledge.
Yep.
And I've always believed, as I've been a teacher for years and years and years, and I try to teach in the radio and my writings and things like that, that knowledge is power. And if you have that knowledge, if you have that, and I'm talking about education. I'm not talking about going to school and getting a degree that people say, oh, I have a philosophy degree, now I'm 100,000 in the hole, but, gee, you know, I've got a job, and it's saying, gee, what can we get started for you here at Starbucks? But, no, I'm talking about the knowledge of what's going on. And like I say, it's important to listen to programs like these, because if you don't, then when it comes as a surprise, well, you're the last to know.
Right. Excuse me. And with that, I think we're going to get cut off here. But we want to thank you so much for being on, and hopefully we can get you back later on.
Thanks, guys.
All right. You have a great Sunday.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
And this is KCNR.
I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. World leaders headed a massive rally in Paris today aimed at remembering the dead and defying terrorists in the wake of last week's twin attacks. This is British Prime Minister David Cameron.
The importance of today is to show solidarity with the French people and the French government after the appalling attacks in Paris. We're here to demonstrate that we all stand for the values of democracy, of freedom of expression, of tolerance.
More rallies are planned in London and New York, amongst other places. USA Today is quoting an Indonesian official at this hour as saying that divers have located the flight data recorders from Air Asia Flight 8501 and will try and bring them up from the bottom of the Java Sea tomorrow. It's hoped they hold information that will explain why the plane crashed 2 weeks ago, apparently killing all 162 people on board. While his colleagues hold their annual retreats this month, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid will be recuperating. More on that story from SRN's Linda Kenyon.
Republicans will be in Hershey, Pennsylvania for their retreat at the end of the week, and Democrats will be in Baltimore midweek. But Harry Reid, the Senate's top Democrat, is under doctor's orders to sit this one out as he recovers from several broken bones in his face and broken ribs. The injuries are the result of a mishap with a piece of exercise equipment that snapped as he was using it on New Year's Day. The latest complication, says Reid, is partial vision loss in his right eye. And Reid says he's been warned that driving to Baltimore could risk his recovery and that he could face the prospect of permanent vision loss in that eye. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
All lanes have reopened on Interstate 94 in southwestern Michigan 2 days after a 193-vehicle pileup shut down the highway in Kalamazoo County. Efforts to reopen the highway stalled yesterday amongst a number of problems. One person died in the crashes. This is SRN News.
20 years of credit counseling and debt management services. More than 36,000 program members freed from credit card debt. Nearly $100 million saved in high interest and finance charges. It's Trinity's 20th anniversary, and these are just a few of the milestones we're celebrating as we begin our third decade of helping people become debt-free for keeps. Did you know that members who complete our program save on average more than $20,000 in interest?
My name is Mike. From the very first phone call, Trinity brought us relief by stopping all the late fees and collections calls, greatly reducing our interest and consolidating our bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Now we're on track to save nearly $17,000 in finance charges. Happy 20th anniversary, Trinity. Thanks for helping so many save so much.
And Trinity can help you, too. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Police say a gunman killed three people and critically wounded another during a rampage at three locations in Moscow, Idaho. The suspect, 29-year-old John Lee, was captured yesterday afternoon following a high-speed chase in neighboring Washington State. According to police, Lee killed his adopted mother before heading to Northwest Mutual Life Insurance, shooting two more men, one of whom died. The shooter then drove to Arby's and asked for the manager. When she appeared, he opened fire. The manager died later. He then fled in a vehicle that crashed into a ditch north of Colfax, Washington. Lee was taken to a hospital for treatment of minor injuries and booked. China's bold plan to land an unmanned spacecraft on the moon before returning to Earth has moved another step forward, with a test craft shifting into lunar orbit to conduct further tests. China plans to land a spacecraft christened Chang 5 on the moon in 2017. This is SRN News. The nation's coal mines set a record for the lowest number of on-the-job fatalities last year, with 16.
The U.S. Department of Labor's Mine Safety and Health Administration says the 2014 figure is two fewer than the previous low of 18 in 2009. Coal mine employment in Appalachia has dropped considerably in recent years, meaning there are fewer miners working in fewer underground mines. However, the department says current nationwide coal employment is similar to what it was shortly after the turn of the century, when there were twice as many annual deaths.
SRN's Jeremy House reporting. Today is Sunday, January 11th. The 11th day of 2015, there are 354 days left in the new year. On this date in history, 1861, Alabama became the fourth state to withdraw from the Union. And on this date in 1935, Amelia Earhart began an 18-hour trip from Honolulu to Oakland, making her the first person to fly solo across any part of the Pacific Ocean. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours in sight. I am.
We're back. Sovereign Mind. Good morning, Sovereign Minders.
This is the second hour.
We're in the second half of the hour, or the second hour in the first
half.
Second hour, first half. Anyway, I have queued up a... Bob's over here laughing at me. I have queued up a little portion of Chris Ann Hall's podcast. Chris Ann Hall's very constitutionally minded attorney. And I wanted to play this in light of the Boehner thing. Before we get to our guest, Mark Baird, who'll be on next, this would be a great thing to talk about, and what we could do with the state of Jefferson and where it's going and so forth. So if you want to go ahead and cue that up, and anybody wants to listen to the rest of the podcast, go to chrisannhall.com. So go ahead and play it, Bob.
But there are some things that I do want to talk about today. And, of course, we're always talking about liberty first. You know what liberty first is, right? Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. And, unfortunately, if we actually looked at the truth, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, if we actually looked at truth over our favorite personalities, maybe so many wouldn't have been just simply blown away by Trey Gowdy's vote for John Boehner. You know, I wasn't blown away by Trey Gowdy. I have been preaching and preaching for a very long time that Trey Gowdy is all talk and no action, that he has been riding the back of the constitutional conservatives, saying the right things and doing nothing. I'll remind you that sometime back in March, I believe. No, I'm sorry, it was May. May 3rd of 2014, Trey Gowdy announced, "I have evidence of systemic intentional Benghazi cover-ups." He said, "Evidence that will lead to indictments." Okay? "I have evidence that not only they are hiding it, there's an intent to hide it," he says, in May. And you know what? there is just crazy, absolutely crazy. I cannot, he says, I can't disclose the evidence yet, but I have evidence that there was a systemic, intentional decision to withhold certain documents from Congress, and we're just sick of it. That was in May, okay? And here we are in January of 2015, and no evidence has been released, no indictments have happened, and as a matter of fact, the previous Benghazi committee just simply closed their investigation in December of 2014, declaring that there was no intentional cover-up and that there is no fault within the Obama administration. I told you then and there Benghazi was done in the eyes of Congress. And, you know, Gowdy can keep blowing all the hot air that he blows, but he's like the big bad wolf. He huffs and he puffs, but he never blows down that brick house. Huffs and puffs, and nothing ever happens. And so once the straw houses are all down, when we come to the real substance of it, Gowdy is all talk and no action, and he's just simply proved that. He has simply proved that with his vote. You can say, well, he wasn't there. No, but he said in an official statement that he would vote for Boehner if he had been there. And for my book, that's exactly the same thing. In the guilt of the GOP and John Boehner continue to evidence itself, which only clearly indicts those who voted for Boehner. And listen to the language. Now, I want you to pay really close attention to how these people speak. These people are politicians, which means they are wordsmiths, and they choose their words wisely. They speak very clearly. You just listen to them. If they don't want to answer a question, they don't answer it. They will talk around it. They are trained in words. So if you want to know what they're doing, you have to pay very, very close attention to their words. Wednesday, on Newsmax TV, American Forum, Representative Steve King, Republican from Iowa, said House Speaker John Boehner is reconsidering his revenge removal of Representatives Daniel Webster and Richard Nugent from the Rules Committee for opposing him. Okay, so he's reconsidering his revenge. This is what King says. Quote, well, let me say the Speaker is going to reconsider that action, and we'll see how that comes out. It will take a few hours to get this result. I don't think they will let it sit for very long. I can understand. Now, listen very closely. I'm still directly quoting Steve King. I can understand why the Speaker needs people he can count on the Rules Committee. Did you catch that? I can understand why the Speaker needs people he can count on the Rules Committee. We are getting a very valuable lesson on how Congress feels they should operate. This is why I said, I published yesterday on my website, the things we, I'm publishing it today on my website. Duh, okay. The things we need to have learned from all of this. And the one thing, one of the very important things we need to learn from this is that the Speaker of the House has way too much power. I can understand why the Speaker needs people he can count on the Rules Committee. No, no, no. The people of America need someone they can count on the Rules Committee. Do you see how we have completely leaped out of our proper power structure? And we have placed the Speaker of the House in the role of dictator. I can understand why the speaker needs people he can count on the Rules Committee. This country needs a major, major overhaul. A major, major overhaul, a reconstruction. A reconstruction of Washington, D.C. Let me remind you of the Declaration of Independence. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, not from the will of the Speaker of the House, America, but from the consent of the governed. Yet, when any government operates contrary to those means, what means? The consent of the governed. It is the right of the people to alter or abolish, establishing new governments.
Wow. Is that a great segue
into
our next guest? Have you been listening? Are you there, Mark? Are you there, Mark?
Here.
I can hear you now. Have you been listening, Mark?
Yes, I've been listening.
Yeah, I mean, is that a very powerful woman, Chris Ann Hall? And what she's talking about feathers right into the state of Jefferson. But before we go there, I want to introduce you, our guest, Mark Baird here, and he's the head of the committee. I guess so. I don't know if you have a specific title, Mark, other than you are the big guy on the block as far as the state of Jefferson goes.
You know, I'm not really, Mark. I'm one of many spokespeople. I'm one of many, many people who are trying to find liberty for Northern California, and every single one of us is important, and we couldn't do this without every single person we have on every single committee in every single county. So, you know, I'm not the big guy on the block. I just, you know, people tap me to speak, but my contribution is probably smaller than 50% of the people involved in this.
Well, I don't think hubris is a problem for you, Mark. Nope. I think you're a very humble, very knowledgeable purveyor of liberty and truth. And that's kind of why I like to key that thing up there, that little segment from Chris Ann Hall, is because, you know, when your government no longer represents you and when your government no longer cares what you have to say, the input, this last vote for the speaker just totally, you know, put an exclamation point on that. You know, then it's time to, you know, form a more perfect union. Is that what you guys are trying to do, Mark?
Yes, it is. We have that authority under the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, California Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, gives us that right. And there are several principles in law that make this case for us, that make this case for jurisdiction, and that make the case that we have not only the authority, but the inalienable right, which supersedes statute, legislation, regulation, and everything else, to do this. And these things go back to not only the meeting of the minds on the contract that we call the Constitution, in other words, the original thoughts of the original people who wrote the document, but it also goes further back than that to the very concept of liberty itself. When you look back in history, these things are thousands of years old, the concept of liberty. But Federalist 78 says that no legislative act contrary to the Constitution is valid. To deny this is to affirm the servant is greater than the master. The master is the people. People created government, not the other way around. To deny this is to affirm that the servant is greater than the master.
Well, and, you know, it kind of brings me to my point here a little bit. The Republicans and Democrats aren't going to fix this, are they?
No, they're not. And quite frankly, it's not their fault. It really has nothing to do with them. This is the fault of the people. For example, there's a million-man march in Paris today to protest the murder of innocent people by Islamic extremists. But when you really think about that, the million-man march is a couple of years too late, isn't it? Because the people have known about these guys for a long, long time, but they chose not to act. Now, all of a sudden, when there's blood on everyone's hands, a million people are going to show up and protest. And you can trace that to the cause of liberty and the cause of good government everywhere in this country. The people of the North State haven't been particularly active in securing representation and liberty for their children. We've been asleep for a long, long time, and guess what? We got exactly what we had coming to us. We got exactly what we allowed. Bad government isn't something that just happens. It's something that the people must allow. Thomas Gordon said in 1721 that every plowman knows the difference between good government and bad. He knows because he knows how much of his produce he gets to keep. So here we are draining our pockets to government and saying nothing all along, and now we're surprised because Congress doesn't act the way we want them to. I'm absolutely surprised at that attitude.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of contributing factors to this. You know, there's apathy, you know, and there's cycles throughout history, it seems like, where people go through slavery and, you know, and then brave people step to the forefront and fight for their freedom. And then once freedom is achieved, then people kind of go back to their apathy and their complacency. And then sooner or later back into slavery seems to be the cycle throughout history. And I think we're going through that cycle right now. And people, I believe, have to get their nose rubbed in it, for lack of better verbiage, or they have to feel pain before they realize why liberty is so important to people. You know, when you look at the founding fathers and you say, why would those people go out there and fight and die on the battlefield? Why would they walk through miles of snow in their bare, bloody feet to fight a battle to win liberty? It's not because they, you know, I mean, you got to have some heartfelt reasons why you would do that. It's not, oh, because somebody told me to. You got to do that because there's something greater of value that you want to achieve other than a paycheck from the Congress or the Army or whoever's going to write you a check to get you to fight that battle. And that's,
well, you know,
what's
that's
missing.
Interesting that you say that, because even that in California, we can look back in history and we can find out exactly why the people of California formed the Constitution of California. It's found in the preamble. And that is where the original authors of the Constitution of California outline and lay out the very reasons why they formed this state. Because otherwise, really, when you think about it, and, you know, we can get back to the state of Jefferson through this line of logic.
Sure.
But why do we need a state? Why do we care? Why aren't we just citizens of the United States and not have to pay the second layer of government? Why not just let the United States of America govern everybody? Because that seems to be what they're doing now anyway. Why do we have to have a state? Well, the answer to that is easy. We need the state to stand between the people and excesses of the federal government. That's why we need a state government. Otherwise, who cares? What do we need it for? It's just another layer of taxes. Now, what was the state of California, the creation of the contract we call the Constitution of California? In other words, that Constitution created state government, not the other way around. And people forget that. The people created California's Constitution and outlined the job that that entity created in that contract was supposed to do. And here's their meeting of the minds. Here's why they thought they needed to do that. And that's the preamble of the Constitution of California. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our liberty, in order to secure it, we established this Constitution. The people of California created the entity called the State of California in order to secure liberty and freedom.
Okay, with that, excuse me, Mark, we need to go to a break, and maybe when we get back we can dig into that a little bit more, why the people created it and how they created that Constitution for the State of California, and where we're going with the State of Jefferson, maybe compared to that. This
okay.
is, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
All aboard!
We'll be right back.
Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Redding, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Attention all brides-to-be, if you're newly engaged or a wedding is on its way. On Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3, the Simpson University Event Center is where you need to be. The Bridal Guide Wedding Show is your one-stop shop for all your wedding needs. Over 150 professionals from caterers, florists, DJs, venues, officiants, wedding gowns, bridesmaid dresses, tuxedos, wedding cakes, and much more. If you're just getting started, what better way to plan that special day than to have everything you'll need under one roof? There's always something new and exciting at the wedding show, and you could win a special honeymoon trip. So gather up your bridal party and head down to the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, Sunday, February 8th at Simpson University Event Center on Shasta View Drive. For more information, call 223-3868. It's the wedding show of the year.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Song.
Yes, it is.
We're back with Mark Baird, and we're talking about the state of Jefferson. And boy, I'll tell you what, the fun never stops. You know, I wanted to thank Frank Rose. He always brings us donuts every time. Staring at this donut, you know, and it's like, holy crap.
Gotta love that, Mr. Rose. He's everywhere, you know?
He's everywhere. Anyway, what I want to talk about, Mark, is okay, let's say we get the state of Jefferson. And where do we go from there? Because why? How can we do this without ending up with the same problems that we have now? I mean,
You know, you look at the city of Reading and the Board of Supervisors, and, you know, how do we get enough people involved? And what is the mechanisms of involvement as far as do we start with the existing government and, you know, in each county? You know,
do we need to go back to like the people did originally with California? And
do we elect a governor and all that stuff? How does it work, Mark?
Well, let me first just mention, if you wouldn't mind, the event we had in Sacramento yesterday.
Okay.
A lot of the committee members were in Sacramento at Cal Expo, at the Sportsman's Expo, and it was absolutely fantastic. And this is important because it goes to the very heart of our problem here, and that's apathy on the part of the people. We handed out thousands of brochures, thousands and thousands of Jefferson brochures to people from every county in California, and I even talked to some people who were from San Bernardino County, a couple from Riverside County, a few from San Diego County, and I don't know, I probably handed out 500 or 600 of them myself, and so did everyone else. I mean, I know my wife handed out 500 or so, and Terry and Sally Raposa handed out 500 or 600 apiece, and you know, everyone there, we were talking to people of the state of California, and I know my personal experience, I had three people who rolled their eyes and walked away, and everyone else said, I would favor this. Even though I don't live there, I'm in favor of this. Can't you get our county, San Joaquin County? Can't Kings County join you? Can't San Bernardino County? I know we're too far south, but we wish we could be part of that. The people want liberty. It is the government structure that we, the people, have put in place that are fighting this. And so the way the state of Jefferson will work, and we need, and the reason I mentioned this is because we have to start locally. You know, people in Siskiyou County were always saying, well, let's go to the federal government and tell the U.S. Forest Service to stop doing what they're doing. And that's just silly. It's impossible. We can't even control or we don't even have any effective input into politics in our own town. How can we go to the federal government and expect to succeed? We've been asleep for so long that we need to start with baby steps, and that's what Jefferson is. It is the steps to return to liberty. We spoke to people in our county government. We educated them. They understand. They affirm the declaration to get away from California. Other counties learned what we've done and either contacted us or we contacted them. We educated them. We helped them understand how this will work, why this will work. They signed on, too. We now have 20 counties involved in this effort, 20 counties, wow, where a little over a year ago we had zero. Will this change politics in Shasta County? No. Quite frankly, it won't. The people of Shasta County must change the politics in the county. What this will do is give the people of the state of Jefferson liberty, because we will have the opportunity to create an entity that will in truth stand between the people and the federal government as the states were designed to do. And we have the authority, we have the jurisdiction in the Constitution, in the founding documents to do exactly that.
Wow. Well, you know, and so each county government is going to basically stay the same, and then there's going to be a convention called after that so that we can start electing a state legislature and follow the template that the founders actually set out as how the government should work. Is that the process?
That's exactly right. We petition and declare that we must withdraw from the state of California. We list our grievances in the declaration and petition. We are now petitioning the government of California for redress of our grievances, lack of representation for the Northern California counties within the state of Jefferson. That's our petition. That's constitutional. That's what we did with England in the Declaration of Independence. Now, if the state of California fails to address those grievances by giving them fair hearing and taking them to a vote of the California legislature as required by Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution, they have created the harm necessary, and the counties who affirm the declaration have gained standing, as well as several individuals who have signed individual declarations and petitions to withdraw, we have two lawsuits that are possible. One is government against government, and one is people against government. And the harm is lack of representation, evidenced by their ignoring our plea. And the remedy for that harm is increase in representation. And so the only way logically to increase representation in the state of California is to split the state. Because in Reynolds versus Sims, the court found that one man has one vote, votes can't represent rocks and trees, and I've said all this before on air. But we think the court attacked the wrong remedy. The remedy should have been to increase representation within the states until each county had some. Well, in California, that would mean we'd have 1,400 assemblymen.
Wow.
And obviously that is not going to play. The state would collapse under its own weight, and the next best choice is to split the state so that we can have an assembly person for each 30,000 people, as George Washington said, one for 30 is democracy, one for 40 is tyranny, and we can have a state senator in each and every county in the state of Jefferson, or two state senators if the people decide that. That's representation that we need to fix our economies and create jobs for our children.
All right, and with that, we have Kay from Reading on the line. She has a question for you, Mark.
Okay.
All right. Kay, are you there?
Oh, yes, hi.
Hi, hi, you Kay. Have a question?
Yes. I was wondering why we don't get a petition together to for the residents of Shasta County to sign a petition requesting the Board of Supervisors to study the situation, to address it, and if they don't, then serve a writ of mandate on them.
Well, there is a form of petition. The Shasta County Committee through SOJ51.com or JeffersonDeclaration.net website, you can sign support statements. And we did take signatures in before the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and they simply ignored them. You know, there is no way to compel an elected official into voting the way some people want them to vote.
Well, I'm not talking about,
you know, their character is their character. They're free to lie if they're liars. That's
I'm not talking about them voting at this point. They need to look at it. They need to look at the studies that have been done, and if they want to do their own studies, but they need to address the issue, and not to looks very suspicious.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. They do need to look at the issue.
I mean, are they in cahoots with the people down in Sacramento? Are they looking for better jobs down in Sacramento? What's the deal?
Well, I wish I could answer that for you, but since I live in Siskiyou County, I don't know what their agenda is.
I know,
the committee in Shasta County
suspicious.
May know.
And people today are very suspicious because they trusted their government and didn't do what they really should have done, and now we're where we are.
That's correct. This Keep the responsibility the for this lies with the people, and the
you
people
know,
have
I paid
avenues.
$50 for my ballot to be sent in June of 1992. I was in Washington D.C. and I couldn't get my ballot back in time, and I'd always wanted to vote on it, and so I thought I was going to send it by FedEx, but they didn't do that. So I went to United because they flew into Reading with the United Express, and for $53, I think it was in some sense, and they sent it in and got it in just in time to be counted.
My suggestion would be my immediate suggestion. There's going to be a town hall February, I think, 20th in Reading. Mm-hmm. I suggest that everyone that wants to address this issue attend the town hall. We'll have speakers. The committee will have ideas in order to address this grievance with the Shasta County government. And what we need to do is we need to express in the strongest possible terms that the people that place them in those seats desire a certain outcome. And if they don't get that outcome, there are means to replace them. And that's what they don't feel. They don't feel threatened, and that's why they don't feel compelled to listen.
Well, the
people of Shasta County do not present a credible threat to them.
Yeah, you know, I think what needs to happen, like you say, Mark, is they need to be voted out. That's the remedy. But in the meantime, between here and there, what we have to do as the people is expose them. You have to talk to your neighbors. We have to have programs like this that tell the truth. You know, because
we did take it before the Board of Supervisors a few months back, and they ignored it, saying that they had looked at the evidence, which we know that they hadn't.
Well, I think that it has to get bad before people will get the picture, unfortunately, like we talked about earlier. In order for people to stand up for their rights, they have to suffer, I guess. And right now, well, what needs to happen is there needs to be a resurgence of people getting involved in their local government in Shasta County.
Yes.
And vote these guys out. Get rid of them. Because right now, the vote swing on the last election in Shasta County was the unions and the government workers. Well, you know, basically, they're the ones that had enough votes to swing it to whoever they wanted, and the county sheriff's association, or was it the sheriff's or the police officers association, they endorsed their guys, and that's who won. We have to have enough people to counteract that, so people
have to get involved. People that to put in office. I mean, sometimes they get run unopposed on the board of supervisors.
That's the other side of it.
You know, in their district, and
well,
that's where we need
Tino
to get.
Tino runs every time by himself.
Well, that's what needs to. That's the remedy.
That's why, yeah. Look, come February 20th, people need to gather together.
I want to clarify something about the state of Jefferson. What the state of Jefferson is and what it is not. The state of Jefferson is the opportunity for the counties who wish it to restore representation to their county so that state government will not only be effective, but it will be a positive influence on their lives, and it will be a mechanism in order to hold the federal government responsible for the consequences of their actions. That's what the state of Jefferson is. What the state of Jefferson is not, it is not the remedy for all the ills of county government. That's up to the people to change that. People created the government. People can change the government anytime they choose to. It's our right under the Constitution. But it takes people to change local events. In other words, the state of Jefferson is not going to fix the things. We're not.
Oh, we lost him.
I think we lost Mark, too.
Oh,
uh-oh.
Well.
We're forming this
there we
state
are. He's
to
back.
Restore representation.
Yeah, it's up to people. Well, thanks for the call, Kay. We appreciate it. And I think we need to go to one more break here pretty quick. And so let's go ahead and take a break.
Yeah. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
It is important.
Needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments.
that when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, and your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center. Well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You know, I'll tell you what, if Shasta County doesn't become a member of the state of Jefferson, I'm moving. That's going to be the last straw for me. Yeah. I'm out of here. Let them implode. I mean, you know, if they don't want to come around, they don't want to have a seat at the table to discuss this, then, you know, I'm out of here.
Hey, yeah. Mark, I have a question for you. We were kind of talking during the break about, you said you have about 20 counties that are interested in joining this march with the state of Jefferson. How would that work? Is there a cutoff point? Do they have to be counties that are touching one another? Yeah, how would that work?
Yeah.
Article 4, Section 3 is very interesting. It's very concise and short. It does not say that counties have to touch. Obviously, that's better. I mean, it's a lot easier if you drive from county to county without leaving your own state border, but it doesn't say that that has to be the case. So the answer to that is no. And once again, in the state of Jefferson, the counties will have the lion's share of the power. This is a very, very important point. The state government is going to do what states should do, act as a liaison between counties, administer any federal programs we choose to participate in, talk to foreign governments and talk to other states. Otherwise, it is the business of Shasta County what goes on in Shasta County. The state may also have to be an arbiter. For example, if a county chooses to engage in a practice that's obviously detrimental to its neighbor, you know, then the state would act as an arbiter between those counties where they couldn't agree by themselves. But otherwise, the people of Shasta County are going to decide how their children are educated, how they're taxed, how their lives are conducted. So it's very important for the people of Shasta County to understand that their government is in their hands, and you must adopt government that's favorable to the needs of the people, or else it's your duty and your responsibility to change that government.
Yep.
That's why the state of Jefferson will work, and that's why we go back to the founding principles every single time, because they work.
That's interesting. You know, you think about the kind of map you might be looking at.
I know.
The state of California, you know, it might look like a chain of islands in the.
Yeah, because there's like 58 counties in California. So, you know, it could be like a botch dots or something all over, you know, and this is the state of Jefferson.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. Listen, now I don't think
it's going to end up that way. We have enough traction in enough counties that we're going to have contiguous borders by the time this is over.
Well, it makes you think that maybe Shasta could end up being an island.
They could be all by themselves.
It's true, and then I guess they would have to take a helicopter to get to the state capital. I don't know, but I don't think that's so. I think the people of Shasta County want liberty.
It's going to get leveraged.
That mechanism.
Well, the battle here is going to heat up, and you know, with everything happening in the economy, 215, and you know, there's a lot of things that are coming to a head here. I agree with you. I think that the heat's going to start getting turned up on these people, and I think people are going to start stepping up to the plate, and I think Shasta County will eventually, the Board of Supervisors will acquiesce to the will of the people, because I think that if they don't, the pitchforks and torches are probably going to come out eventually.
I think the people will get involved and will start getting people on the Board of Supervisors.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't literally mean pitchforks and torches. No. Maybe kind of I did. Anyway, we have Billy Bob on the phone from Palisadro. How you doing, Billy? Hey. Are you there?
Good morning. And thank you again, Mark Baird, for all your work on this Jefferson project. And again, I just want to apologize as a lifelong resident of Shasta County. I just want to apologize you for the bonehead antics of our supervisors. And yes, the argument is going to heat up, and we're going to find a way to recall those four superintendents. They're tyrannical. They have no concern for the people. And again, the state of affairs economically in Shasta County, they have no shining star to stand on. And I've had it with them, and I'm apologetic to you because it's unnecessary, and they're just a bunch of boneheads.
Well, we got to say the exception of Bill Chappelle and on the city council, Gary Cadd. They stand for liberty. That's pretty much it.
And they listen to the people.
And they listen to the people, yeah.
Most certainly. And Bill's on board. So, no, it's the other yahoos. All right. I'll take my answer off you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Well, one other thing to remember is the Declaration is not the only avenue for Shasta County to join. Article 4 doesn't mention the Declaration. We're using the Declarations as a vehicle to indicate popular support for joining the state of Jefferson. For example, if we could get an army of people, if we could get 1,000 people out, and that 1,000 people got 500 signatures apiece, you know, we would have enough signatures on support statements to indicate that well over half the people of Shasta County want to join Jefferson, and away we go. Your legal description is in the legislation, and you're in. So we don't have to have, in other words, we're not dependent upon five men who choose to make a decision arbitrarily, not by any means.
Well, that might be
all we need in the committee is we need something that indicates popular support for joining the state of Jefferson, and Shasta County's in.
Well,
that's going to take an effort by the people.
Well, it sounds to me like that's a project that's upcoming, I would assume.
I don't think people realized that they were able to have that much power, Mark, with the movement.
All power rests with the people.
I know
all
that, but
legitimate people, all legitimate power comes from the consent of the governed. So the people have all the power here. All we need, all the committee needs, the state committee, is something that will indicate to us that the majority of the people in Shasta County want the state of Jefferson, and your legal description is going to go into that legislation. See, Article 4 only demands that we have legislation passed at the state level and at the federal level. It doesn't say how those counties are added into the legislation, except that the people of the Jefferson Committee, we want, we need, and we demand to know whether the people, because we're not pushing this. This is a question we're asking. Do you want liberty? If you give us an indication that more than half the people in Shasta County want liberty, you're in.
Well,
that's all we need.
I think the prophetic words of Benjamin Franklin when he came out of the Constitutional Convention was, security or liberty. You know, if you opt out of liberty for security, you'll have neither. And I think that's the real key. The people don't realize that there is no security except in liberty, because then you're self-reliant and self-determined. Whereas what happens in a security state where the government controls everything is just like we're
seeing now, pretty soon you don't have any rights, and pretty soon you don't have any money or property either.
Well, that's right, Mark. And in addition to that, when you look at this, the people who survived the Charlie Hebdo thing in Paris were talking to the international press about liberty, because what they were trying to do, and that's one of the most far-left political magazines in France, by the way, very, very far to the left. But it's interesting. I don't care what your position is. I don't care what your party is. I don't even care what agenda you have and what things you'd like to see done. It doesn't matter to me whether you're left or right, because you need liberty to accomplish those goals no matter what they are. And the people of Charlie Hebdo were talking about what happened to liberty, to the freedom of speech in France, to the freedom of expression, to the freedom of ideas. That's what we're talking about here. I don't care what your political persuasion is. We want liberty so that the counties of Jefferson can accomplish the things the citizens of those counties want to accomplish, no matter what those things are.
Well, you have to be careful what they say, you know, about freedom of speech and freedom. It's like the prohibition and, you know, the alcohol back in the day and the marijuana. What happens is we get lost in our freedom and not yours. That's what the left likes to do, is they like to say, well, we want all the freedom for us, but we don't want the freedom for you. But eventually what happens is nobody has freedom at all. And so your point is just right on, because the real deal is we have to have freedom and liberty, period, for everybody across the board. That doesn't mean that freedom is not a messy thing. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to be perfect. It just means that it's a heck of a lot better than any other system that's ever.
Doesn't come easy.
Well, there's no other system.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And those attacks come from the right just as much as they come from the left.
Absolutely.
Attacks on liberty.
Yep.
So what, liberty is a messy thing. Liberty is a thinking man's game. In order to have liberty, people have to be awake. They have to pay attention to their government. They have to pay attention to what's right, not who's right. And that's what the state of Jefferson represents. It represents people who want to do the right thing, even sometimes when they don't agree with it. Because liberty for you and liberty for me may represent different things, but it is still liberty.
Well, I think Jefferson said it best, ignorance and freedom cannot coexist. If you want freedom and ignorance, you'll want something that never has been or never will be.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's really true. You have to actually be educated. And, you know, when you look today, the people have been so dumbed down through the indoctrination in the school system, in the last 20, 30 years. It's just gotten steadily worse, that they've been taught that government is the answer for all of their problems. It's that you rely on the government for your food, clothing, shelter from tomb to, you know, womb to tomb. And it's a lie.
Well, government always steps in wherever people lack morality. Whenever you lack the morality to do the right thing, even when it costs you money, government steps in with pure power and pure force. And so as we become a less moral society, people who are less willing to stop and think about what's right instead of who's right, then government steps in with more regulatory processes, because they are going to mandate what they think you should think is right.
Well, and if
and
you,
that's not what liberty is.
Well, and if you have an immoral society, it forces them to put those laws into place so that they can control everybody.
Yeah.
Once
yeah.
they do debase the morality, and that is the first step to taking over a country by a lot of that is the mantra from a lot of people who have taken over countries, from Machiavellian to you name it, is to debase the morality of the people so they will look to government to solve their problems. And gee,
I'm gonna say again, those types of governments come just as often from the right as they do from the left.
Absolutely.
Yep,
and they fail sooner or later with the top-down model.
Yeah.
I have been all over the world, and I have seen that type of government fail everywhere it was ever attempted. The government that changed the world forever was constitutional republic, so that all people, no matter what their thoughts or wishes are, have the liberty to express those ideas and try to accomplish those goals. That's what constitutional represents. Constitutional republic represents. The minority, no matter whether they're left or right, never gives up their ideals to the majority, because we have the inalienable rights that protect those thoughts and those processes and those freedoms of expression and idea and those freedom from unlawful searches and so on and so forth from the majority, no matter who the majority is.
Well, we got about a we got
very
about
quickly.
Hurry up, Mark, because we got about a minute left before we got to cut you off.
Two declarations on the 15th in Sacramento, 11 a.m. West Capitol steps. We need 10 times 10,000 people who want liberty to show up on the West Capitol steps at 11 a.m. on the 15th.
And if they want to be a part of that, who do they get a hold of?
Look on jeffersondeclaration.net or soj51.com, and there'll be contact information.
Okay, great. We want to thank you, Mark, again for coming on, and we'll, of course, have you back in the future and keeping us posted on the updates and what all's going on. So we, again, appreciate everything that you do and everybody else with you.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye-bye.
You bet.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Mark. Well, we're at the end as usual. And as always, you were born an original, and I hope you don't die as a copy. Remember, the amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Have a great week. This has been Solver Minds, KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man working with my hands.
All In comes your way next on KCNR Shasta Ready.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. As many as 3 million people marched and rallied in Paris today in defiance of terrorism just days after two attacks in Paris by Muslim radicals.
We don't want this in France. We want France to be a free country. We want country. We want freedom of speech. We want freedom of religion. And we don't want to live in a country where we have to obey to rules that are not ours.
That woman spoke to Sky News. She and so many others were joined by more than 40 world leaders, including U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder.
On this day, we are all French citizens. I am a citizen of France, and we stand in solidarity with the French people.
The White House plans a conference next month on efforts to counter violent extremism. The February 18th meeting will highlight domestic and international efforts to prevent extremists and their supporters from radicalizing, recruiting, and inspiring others.